Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you want to support the show, visit us at patreon.com, and for as little as $1 a month, you can become a patron. Or you can buy cool Lorehammer products like shirts, coffee mugs, and dice bags at www.redbubble.com. Don't want to spend any money? Well, you can help out the show by giving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also hop on over to Facebook and like our page, and feel free to send us a message. It's the only enjoyment Mark gets out of his miserable life.
Hello and welcome to Lorehammer Lockdown.
The Lorehammer Lockdown. That's the official jingle.
Why? Who wrote that for us?
That was Spicy Meatballs on the Instagram handle.
What?
Spicy Meatballs is his name?
Don't look it up. Don't follow through with this. Welcome to Lorehammer Lockdown.
Yeah, welcome to Lorehammer Lockdown.
We got with us today Spenny.
Hey,
how you doing, Spenny?
I'm locked down.
Oh God,
good man.
He's perfect.
They haven't let me leave the room yet in the last episode, so yeah, I'm just locked down, nice and tight. So yeah,
yeah. So this is actually your second Lorehammer episode that you've been on now, but the first one we really didn't talk to you very much.
We didn't share our love of who you are as a person.
Oh. Is that something that you possess, or
it's not only is it something I possess, it's an absolute necessity.
Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't share this love,
yeah,
with people,
if you don't reciprocate, then we have some issues, Spenny.
Are we gonna hold hands and sing, or what's on your mind here, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, like, if that's your idea of first base, I guess.
I like that meme where it's of 2 feet and they're like interlocking.
Oh God, no, that's so bad.
No.
That one is. Have you seen the one where it's like it's that, but instead of toes, they're actual fingers? So it's like the foot itself is still there, but they've all been, and then it's just fingers gripping onto the foot of the other person. Like, ugh. I
like it.
Feet are weird.
Yeah, we can be sure that you and I have some different search histories, I think.
It's a meme, Spenny. It just shows up. You can't. Fine.
Nothing you can do about it.
I feel like judged right now.
You feel judged. I was just told moments ago that you have an undying and absolute necessary love for me.
How is that judged?
Well,
you've been worthy at the very least.
But it's in a way that's it's just unsettling after having been locked in here since the last episode I was on. And then to find out that that's your definition of love is just that's a little
I jarring. Have a weird love.
You do. Not for freedom. I know that now. It's not for freedom.
He's not American.
No, I'm not. No. The call of the eagle does not flow through my veins as it does those below the border. I think it's the 39th latitude or something.
So, for this episode of Lorehammer Lockdown, we're just going to hang out with Spenny. We're going to talk to him. We do have a couple things. One of the things we're going to be talking about a lot is just like how beginners get into 40K and kind of what their experiences, some pitfalls that you want to avoid. Because Spenny, you're relatively new to the hobby. Like,
yes, I'm July of last year was when I set foot in my first GW.
Oof. Did you not know about like 40K before then?
So there was one time many years ago, probably 15 years ago, that I ended up in someone's basement and they had...
Did they share their undying love for you?
You know, it's interesting that I keep ending up in these situations where I'm shackled to radiators in the corners of rooms and submitted to 40K. but I found out later on that the game that he was trying to teach me was 40K, and he apparently really liked to play as Eldar. At the time, it made no sense, and I think I may have just been there for the pizza and the ball gag. But
yeah.
Otherwise, yeah.
Where does the pizza go?
Did you get to keep the ball gag?
I did not get to keep the commemorative ball gag. They said that if I stuck around for another week, that I would have made it to level 2 and I would have been able to keep that. But no, it was just a rental.
That's a great first 40K experience, though.
So then that happened. What actually got you into it?
What made you
after that experience?
Yeah, you never ever touch a 40K miniature ever again after that.
Yeah. So the story is that I was hanging out at my favorite cigar shop, and the guy that works there, a buddy of mine, he said, "Hey, there's a new tabletop game store just down the street.
Yeah,
that just opened up, and you should go check it out." So naturally, I ran from the shop, threw my cigar down, and sprinted across the intersection.
Was it raining?
It wasn't. It was a little. Yeah. There was a nippy breeze in the air.
Like you didn't like button up your coat even. You were just so intent on getting to the shop. Like you were just in a flurry. I get it.
Right, and they said that this guy
in the cigar store and everything. Yeah.
I know she was still in the car. I didn't even let her into the store. So she was waiting in there while I smoked my cigar for an hour and a half. And
she cracks the window and she's like, "Spenny!" And you're just racing down the street and she thinks she's being abandoned. I get it.
Right. Yeah. No, she knows that I eventually come back.
like a
the windows are cracked.
Like a dog to vomit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's questionable. Yeah.
That's how Spenny likes his relationship.
I'm not getting that on a t-shirt. But anyway, so I go down to this, and the guy at my cigar shop told me the dude that runs it loves cigars. So I'm immediately thinking, like, maybe I can barter with him for some D&D stuff, or, you know, it'd be cool. And so I show up, and he's like, the guy there, he's like, "Hey, you know, I do have some tabletop stuff." It's a tiny shop. I mean, less probably than like 400 square feet. Okay. Just absolutely microscopic. But it does have a Primaris cutout that's almost bent over at the ceiling because it's not
too naturally.
They are,
and so that was the first time I saw the next generation of Warhammer. And the guy said, "Hey, you ever hear about Warhammer 40K?" That's really what we do here. We don't do a ton of D&D. And I said, you know, well, there's this one time with a basement and a ball gag. He said, "I don't want to hear it."
You know, yeah.
You know, he's like, "That happens to all of us." But yeah, right. You know, let's take it to a more approachable level, and we'll talk about it in a consensual way.
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, this sounds great. But also, I don't think I want to get into another hobby addiction, because I have problems usually with hobbies and just going overboard. So thank you very much, but no thanks." And he says, "You know what, man? The first one's free."
Oh, and he
hands me an intercessor, one of those, like, you know, take and paint intercessors, and a Black Library book and a Black Library bookmark, which is what you use to mark books.
Yeah, the book is wild. I've never heard of
free?
That.
For free?
Yeah.
Well, it's the every year for Black Library Day, they give away like little books. I got one this year. It was February 29th this year. They give away little books that have like 5 different stories in them.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And yeah, you got your GW on the Black Friday day.
That's right. Yeah. Next time.
Black Library Day, not Black Friday Day. Don't show up the day after Thanksgiving demanding books.
I will.
Interested.
My friend on the online told me.
Right. And so I took that intercessor home and I threw it away. And
you already knew at that point.
Oh, that, God,
I'm so proud of you, Spenny. My heart overfloweth. Okay.
So I took it. Finally, like, I think 2 months later, I assembled it. And I was using like an X-Acto knife and I think Loctite or something. I mean, it was bad.
Oh, God.
Because I didn't know, you know, do I need to get hobby glue? Do I need to get plastic glue? Do I need to just, you know, use saliva to acidically melt it enough to Mod Podge it together? I don't know. And I got it together and I was like, "Oh, I think I'll go ahead and I'll paint this." So I go get like a little 15-pack army Army Painter paint set and kind of just do it up and paint it. And to this day, that is the only model I've ever finished.
What? Is that a meme? It.
Nope.
No. That is a statistical certainty. I have the tables, the data. I can send it over to you if you want to peruse it. yeah. So that was just a little under a year ago.
Yeah. So you have painted a bunch of models. You just never base them.
Well, I haven't actually finished painting those either. There's a lot of details that are just somewhat.
Well, you've tabletop painted them.
I mean, depending on which basement you're playing in, yeah.
So yeah, so you got that one model, you got some paint. Do you like building and painting, or?
I do enjoy. I think building more than painting. Painting presents like the concept of, you know, trying. You still try and like color in a coloring book, and you'd be like, try and color within the lines. Well, this is on a three-dimensional scale and with a medium that's not just crayons. So
yeah, it's nice.
At what point were you were like, oh, I'm gonna go learn more about this and then buy more stuff? Like, was it when you were modeling, when you were painting, was it when you read the book? What was it that actually like hooked you?
Yeah, I still haven't read the book to this day.
good man.
How did you go on here? You don't seem qualified to be on this podcast.
Well, in all fairness, neither do I.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I'm painfully unqualified, but you know, the long con has been over the last, you know, well, since October, basically trying to infiltrate the Discord and doing what I can to get to the inner circle to end up on here. So,
joke's on you. There is no inner circle.
Yeah,
but you'll kill me if I say there is.
Inner circle.
It's not possible to have an inner circle between two people, though, is it? I mean, that's just a line.
Yeah.
Hey, there's Christian. He exists.
It's an inner triangle. I don't like that. But I painted the model and I thought, I'll go get some more models to paint. And I found out that, you know, 15 minutes away there was a Games Workshop. And so I wandered in there and that's where it all went wrong.
Oh, so terrible.
So what was your first purchase then? Did you jump right into your main army?
Yeah, it was, you know, it wasn't even an army. It was like, I'm just going to get a few more models to paint. And a few more models is the biggest lie that I've told in the last 10 months.
That's a very common lie you hear in Warhammer. It's only one more box.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need anything else after this. I'm done after this.
Looking back on it, when the guy said the first one's free, I should have realized that that's the exact same line that drug dealers use.
Oh, absolutely. Or like telecommunications like companies do that. They love that shit.
Right, right. So I just missed it.
Yeah, screwed up, Spetty.
So what was your first buy?
So the first buy, yeah. Back to the question that I so gracefully derailed us from. it was actually a batch of Plague Marines, and I was thinking I'm gonna paint these up and they're gonna look super cool and I'm gonna just put them on my shelf, and yeah, they're still not finished.
Oh. I know that pain, man. Don't worry about it.
So now, why
you're a player more than a painter, right, Eric?
What's that?
You're a player more than a painter.
I'm barely that as it is. I just like being around things that are a 40K.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like, I try and play, but I'm not good at playing. That's the caveat. Right.
Interesting.
What made you choose Death Guard?
Yeah, why'd you pick Plague Marines out of on the shelf? Yeah,
like, you like how that mouth gut?
I do not like the mouth gut. Mark, I think you and I have had this conversation before that I like grime but not filth, was how Mark put it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's super accurate because I like them to be a little bit like, oh, these guys are a little weird. They're not the standard Space Marine. They're a little yucky. But like when it gets too gross, then I get grossed out and I can't do it. Like I can't watch horror movies because I get too freaked out. So why I gravitated towards Plague Marines is somewhat more confusing than...
And so like you didn't even know their lore when you got them or anything. You just like
I didn't even know their lore. I was like, yeah, these guys, I want these spicy boys. And look at that moth guy down on the bottom shelf there. He's pretty badass looking. His name is like Mortarian, I guess.
Well, Mortarian.
Mortarian. I was like, he must do artillery. and so I despised it. I was like, why does this man have wings? He looks like such a badass, but I am going to get this model someday and clip his wings.
Oh no.
Is what I said to myself.
That's illegal.
It's illegal to cut his wings off?
It's illegal in 47 states.
Hopefully not one that Spenny lives in.
Oh, it is. I've checked.
Oh no.
Primarchs are an endangered species. There are not many of them left. So for only 65 cents a day, you too can help preserve a Primarch.
Mortarian.
Yeah, that's so. Yeah, I did that for some reason, and then finally discovered that I knew there was a tabletop game from walking in there, but I said to myself, still at that point, I'm never gonna play. I'm never gonna play. I never need more than 7 models. Again, lies to myself. lies to my loved ones. Yes. Everyone was deceived, most of all my own heart, by my lying. And it ended up and flourished into kind of a hoard, I guess. Collections are for people who are wealthy enough to have them or able to complete them in a manner that is satisfactory. This is a hoard.
So you have, like... Now you're at this point, do you just buy Death Guard models that you enjoy, or are you trying to like collect them all, or what's going on there?
Well, we got to a point, I peaked, I think, earlier this...
Oh, maybe early! Was,
I think February or March, I went to Mark and I said, you know, I know we've talked a lot on the Discord, but I think I have a serious problem. And the problem is a plastic acquisition disorder. PAD is what they call it. And professionals call it. Right. You can get a prescription, but I try to take the more holistic approach. No medicines. And decided, you know, hey, Mark, please help me out. And he said, here's what we can do that works even better than a prescription is shame.
Mm-hmm. Guilt and shame.
Shame you in the public. You know, tell everyone how pathetic you are and how just gripped by your vices of acquisition you are, and repent and complete your models. And then you can continue to progress in this hobby and up the ladder of the Lorehammer cult.
Yeah, so I made Spenny in our Discord channel a Spenny accountability channel.
That's right, yeah.
Where
yeah.
once a day he has to post his progress. Otherwise, I'm taking away...
His title. The Spenifactor.
Yeah, the mysterious Spenifactor.
Yeah. Have you been consistent with it?
I would say more or less. There's progress made every day, whether or not it is visibly posted. I have occasionally been lax on that, or I'll double up on certain days just when I don't end up posting a photo. But it's been absolutely wondrous. So not to jump too far ahead, but if anybody listening here is not a member of the Discord or is not a member of or just watching what's going on, this is the most motivational part of the hobby I've found so far, is to basically let Mark ridicule you on a daily basis. Slide into your DMs, tell you how much of a, you know, terrible human being you are, and you're never going to amount to anything unless you paint these small plastic men.
Hey, wait, that's exactly what he says to me all the time.
Yeah. Classic Mark line is, if you don't paint your models a little pee-pee. So, if you don't have a little pee-pee, you got to paint your models.
That's rude.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're not motivationally speaking or coaching at this point now, Mark, because you've helped me turn my life around.
I could. Sure. I choose not to. It's not... I don't want to use this power for good, you know?
I don't want to use it for good.
What are you doing? Okay, we'll worry about what you're doing with me here soon enough. But yeah, so I've stopped purchasing. I think a month and a half clean of purchasing. And That's an accomplishment for a guy who's only been in the hobby since July. God, that is sad to say out loud, isn't it?
It's a beautiful story of a man turning his life around.
Feels like
it's actually a love story.
It's a love story.
There's love?
Not the kind you want.
It's just Eric's undying but very necessary questionable love. Great. That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
If you go too far, you can help. Mark will help drag you back down to reality, is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
That's what I'm known for, being grounded in reality, you know?
That's not what you're known for.
Yeah. So have you read much Death Guard stuff then, or? Like now that you kind of know a little bit more of their lore, do you still like them just as much? Would you have still bought them in the first place?
I think so. Yeah, that's a good question. I kind of had to pause for a second there. It's like, do I really like these? These guys are really kind of reprehensible individuals, but I think I would. I think that I probably take a little bit of a skewed view just because they were my first army, and I like to think that, you know, in some way Mortarion was a bit noble in trying to find his way out of the situation without losing his men, but everybody else kind of thinks he seems to be a little whiny emo kind of guy.
Anytime you have daddy issues, you kind of just come off as a little bitch, I think. So all Traitor Primarchs have that.
Right. So with a little bit of research I've done, I definitely still dig the Death Guard, as long as they don't get too yucky, which I think is a fair thing. In the Grimdark 41st millennium, too yucky is just too much. So they're still cool. But at the same time,
if you could sell your army to me, like, like, how would you sell the lore of your army? Like, what drew you in? Like, what about the Death Guard was like that? What do you like? What keeps you buying models, or used to keep you buying models?
I think that maybe the entire concept of them being, you know, fallen Marines was a cool thing to think of at the beginning there. And then as I learned more about it, and just the fact that they're impervious to death, basically death and disease, and they overcome all of that just by virtue of being these just hulking, lumbering, almost in a weird way comically goofy masses, is is interesting. It's cool, and it can go either way. It can span that entire spectrum of like goofy little nurglings to, you know, super grim, dark, very gritty, very serious angles.
Yeah.
So it's not a great sell, but it's a sell.
It's not a great sell, by God, but it's my sell.
Do you want to buy some models, Mark? I've got models.
No, I'm not really into buying. I like just having other. I like starting like Liber Malleus projects and having other people buy models for me.
The only thing is, you fucked up and you picked models that are going to be like non-usable in 2 years.
That was intentional.
Was it?
Yes, believe it or not.
Intentionally
bad.
Okay, yeah.
No, I like the regular guys. They're not going anywhere for a long time.
If I have heard one thing about Death Guard, because I actually really enjoy the look of Death Guard, but if I've heard a complaint about them, it's that they're cartoonish and that they're like grimness and like the demonic possession, how it like manifests in them is not so dark as it is like cartoony and funny.
Yeah.
Do you find that spending? Like, do you like the way that they're done, or do you think it's a little like not fitting with the rest of 40K?
That's an interesting question, because I can see where that statement is coming from.
Yeah.
Especially if you take a Plague Marine and you put him next to like a Chaos Marine, and you're like, well, that's edgy. whereas the Plague Marine is somewhat more maybe kind of goofy. I think that looking at the older models that I've seen, I can't speak to older models because I just joined in July, but looking at the older models, they all looked fairly maybe goofy by comparison from some of the newer sculpts that have come out. And maybe they did retain a little bit of that cartoonishness from the earlier potbelly plague marine squat that I've seen. But I don't know. I think that it all depends on how you view them and how you paint them more than anything. Because I've seen some super grimy versions of Death Guard models that I wouldn't even want to look at, much less play with, just because I'm a wimp. and then I've also seen very goofy, hilarious, like, this Death Guard Plague Marine is a mushroom.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes it's really bright colors and stuff, or like, yeah.
Right, right. So a little bit of interpretation, but I definitely think there is some almost comic. I mean, the Nurglings are just all laughs.
Yeah, it seems surprising. Like, I know a couple people who, like, so we have like a store here called Sentry Box, and there's when Dark Imperium came out, they painted both sides and they set them up in like a little diorama. And so there's a bunch of Plague Marines there, like Death Guard, and they have those little like Nurglings on the base. And yeah, I know like three people that have gone past that and they're like, oh, like those little things, they're like so cute. And I'm like, they're demons. They're supposed to be like messengers of death and pestilence.
Jovial messengers of death.
Sure, yeah. But still demons nonetheless. Yeah. So it's funny to me to see, because I have like, I have a understanding of how I think like demons are represented and how they act, and other people just see them and they just make their own assumptions. And it's kind of funny to me that difference in approach people take to these ideas. So
I'm just looking
at Nurgle seems very happy. Oh, sorry.
No, all good. I'm just looking at a bunch of Death Guard online right now. And like their 30k Death Guard models, some of them are super fucking cool. Like
the like possessed at that point, or like standard Marines?
They're standard, but they look beefier, and they're like always covered in like tattered chains or like the grime. They look like they've been in the shit for sure. I really like that style of them. Ooh.
Yeah, and that's kind of the angle I try to take, or at least am attempting to take with my Death Guard army, is rather than going full-blown like green, changing colors, it's like I wanted to just wear down those same pre-heresy colors. Yeah. So the off-white, the gold, the green, sort of that kind of setup, versus just like the super plague-tainted, snot green.
Yeah.
No, your color scheme looks really good.
Oh, Mark, thanks.
Everybody who comes on the show gets one little nugget from Mark. So you're done, Spenny. You're cut off now.
Any
so I got Eric's love and Mark's little nugget. Okay, well, we'll settle up later. That's fine.
So do you have any intention of playing on the table then?
I had none, and after that first trip to GW, they said the guy there said, hey, let's play a round. So I played a round of 40K, playing as Death Guard, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. It was with the Dark Imperium set, like you said, and I was like, all right, this is pretty neat. But like, is there anything smaller? Because I don't think I'm ever going to need more than 7 models. And he's like, oh, well, we have this thing called Kill Team. And I was like, oh, yes, Kill Team sounds delightful. Tell me more. And so he sold me on basically getting into Kill Team. He's like, go take this box of Plague Marines, build a Kill Team, and we'll play that. And I didn't like it at all.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, oh man, tabletop is the worst. Like, I just need these 7 Plague Marines and I'm going to be good. And it was just me looking in the mirror and telling, right. Yeah. And no, it was Kill Team. Just, it did not speak to me. And so then another buddy who had actually been playing Warhammer for probably 10 years was like, hey, I heard you're getting into Warhammer. You're going to need to go ahead and get into the tabletop as well. That's an order. and so I said, all right, well, what do you play? And he's like, I play IG. I'm in the guard. And I was like, oh, okay, those guys seem pretty short, but all right, let's do this. And he's proceeded. He's wiped the floor with me. Yeah. Oh no, it's been brutal. I'm like, well, my guys are not able to be killed, and they inexorably advance. And every single game, he just stomps me. It's crippling and brutal. And I just kind of pretend like, well, the Death Guard can't really die because they're already kind of half dead.
Hey, I know that line. Trust me. I've told myself many times that Necron never lose.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's, I guess, the excuse to have underpowered factions is just they write out these little things where it's like, well, you just teleported away. You're fine.
Exactly. Yeah. So you are starting to approach tabletop now.
Yeah, so I was a punching bag for my buddy for a long time, and we'd play games every week, every other week, and I would remember maybe a third of the rules, and he would use that opening to steamroll me even harder. And then finally I was like, all right, you know what? I need an expert. I called Mark, and I said, Mark, how do I make a list?
I am a pro.
What is a list? And Mark's like, well, I would really rather do anything else tonight, but I guess we could spend the next 3 hours trying to hammer this list out for you, Spenny. And I said, thanks, Mark. You're the best friend money can buy. And
and you too can be my friend if you subscribe to Patreon.
Yes. So we hammered out this list. And my thing is, even if I lose every single game, I think having a fluffy list, which is weird considering I didn't even read the only book I've talked about so far. I wanted a fluffy list. I think that'd be really cool. And so Mark really helped out with that. And
it looks like it would look like what you would see. Like, it has a little bit of everything. It has some Terminators.
I like the one that's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, like, it's a very balanced. It's not like the standard Mark list where it's like, oh yeah, I'm going for a theme. Like,
no, that's still fluffy and that's still thematic, right? Yeah. Like, if you build an army and you have every representation from there, like, that's still very, very fluffy. Like, almost anything that isn't meta chasing is fluffy.
Yeah.
Right? So you can build a theme out of anything as long as you're not chasing meta. So that's cool. I appreciate being able to field everything on your army. Like, my Necron are very, very, very similar. Like, I just like collecting Necron. That is not like a thematic list at all. I just like having all the things and being able to put everything down. So I get that feeling, Spenny.
Yeah. And now that you still created a dynasty to back up your Necron, though, right?
Sure. But it's tough to do that with Death Guard, because it's what an established thing that's already there. Like, you have no choice but to be Death Guard, right? Sure, you make your own war band and you make your own what their goals are and everything they're aiming for. But in the end, like, you have no choice but to be Death Guard and worship Nurgle.
Right. I've not seen many Slaaneshi Plague Marines.
Exactly.
That is correct.
Exactly.
You do like characters too. Like, you keep using the what's his name? The Plague Sorcerer. Necropolis?
I keep calling him Necrozius.
Necrozius.
Necrozius the Undying.
Yeah. And then you're trying to include, like, his buddy Mammon, a demon prince.
I'm trying to get past that. Yeah.
Mammon or Mammon?
Mammon sounds kind of exotic. Right. I like that.
Yeah. So it's a demon.
Heavy on the moon. Yeah.
What did the demon prince ascend from?
So they're actually both from the same storyline, and it takes place. It's the siege of, I believe the planet's name is Vrax. Yeah. Or I like Vrax, so I could say Vrax on Vrax on Vrax. But it's the Siege of Vrax, which is an Imperial armor from the Forge World codices, and Mammon is a deacon on Vrax, and he helps lead the local population into this revolt and this uprising, which the Death Corps of Krieg is dispatched, and then finally several other Imperium forces are dispatched to basically just salt the earth and destroy these war bands that are operating off of the local populace, suddenly deciding that chaos is pretty cool.
Okay. Wow, Mammon and, has a model too.
Yeah, same with
he does. Like,
very cool. That Mammon model is awesome. What a perfect Nurgle representation, though.
Have you?
Oh, seen absolutely. I mean, yeah.
Seen what?
Have you seen Mammon from behind?
How do you answer that?
Yeah, well, it's a simple yes or no question. Have you seen him from behind? Because it's important.
I don't think I have.
Okay, well.
Oh, yes, actually. That's a good point, Mark. I thought Mark was making a really weird, like,
no, Google. No,
let me Google Mammon's behind.
From behind.
Do that.
Basically, he has. Let's see if you find it in this search.
Oh, the barrel.
Yeah, yeah. He's got, like, this barrel that's attached to his, like, arm. And it's, like, I think it even has, like, a guy in the barrel, like, ah!
Okay, it's, like, rusting and corroding. And
yeah, it's full of acid.
Full of plague or whatever.
It's pretty cool.
It's like a pustule shooter that I guess he channels in from that boiling vat of snot and despair.
He's making himself a stew, for sure.
Oh, yeah. He's the Carl Withers of Chaos Deacons, for sure.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So... yeah, so those guys, and he teams up with Necrozius, and they create some havoc on that planet. And then at the very end, after the Imperium has destroyed the planet trying to take it back, they both just peace out, and they haven't been heard from since. So
you feature them in your warband.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, very cool.
So that's the goal anyway. We'll see. I'm as much as I like the concept of the models, I'm trying to kit bash both of those for myself, because definitely being the guy that doesn't want to paint his own models, why not build your own instead? Anyway.
You just got to get a guy on Fiverr to paint all your models for you.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Does that count? Because you've been telling me that if someone else painted them, they don't count.
No, I don't care how they get painted. As long as they're painted at the end of the day, and you claim that you yourself painted them, that's all that matters.
Okay.
You know?
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So what is your actual favorite part of the hobby then?
Buying.
Do you like buying things? That's like Christian, man. I get it. Like, Christian also loves buying things.
Right. I mean, there's definitely a big dopamine hit anytime you get a new box set.
Absolutely.
You're like, why do you need Storm? And you're like, I might pick up Orcs and Space Wolves someday. Calm down. And it's really just your therapist saying that. Why would you do that? No.
Shut up. You don't know me.
Right. Exactly. That's how it feels. Is it weird if I steal your answer and say, like, being near 40K is the coolest part of the...
No, I think that's very true. Like, I don't know if I could confidently say there's one thing about 40K that I love. But there's things that I like better than others, right? That's all. Like, painting is lowest for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
But every other aspect of 40K, I'm totally willing to be a part of.
Yes. I like that. It feels a little bit like, what is it, Role Models, where he's like, do you want a Coke? And he's like, I like the theory of Coke.
Oh, my God.
less than Coke. That's almost how it feels, but it's so accurate, because sure. I think I can look at a box of models, and I know it's just plastic sprues inside, but the front of it looks so magical that you can almost imagine what those space marines are doing, that they're being photographed like that.
You can even lie to yourself and say, I can even paint them that good.
That
level.
Like, oh, it doesn't look that hard.
I'm changing my answer. The lying is my favorite part of 40K. I can lie to myself about my talent. I can lie to myself about my ability. I can lie to myself about the future.
Mm.
And I can make everything better by filling that large void in my soul with plastic.
It's the pit.
We all got a god hole that we're trying to fill with
exactly,
something.
Exactly, yeah. And the best way to do it is just Warhammer.
So we got some questions here.
Specifically for you.
Well, you wrote this one, I think. Why aren't Space Marine Scouts featured in novels? Are writers just uncreative?
Someone asked me that. I walked down the street, and the first five people I saw, I was like, hey,
uh-huh.
I'm going to do this thing later on where I interview some people about some stuff.
Oh.
Do you have any questions for me? And the first guy was like, you know, I do. Space Marine that Scout. Why are they not?
And did you tell him?
He said his name was. Well, I said, I don't know, but I'll let you know when I find out. And
he took his phone number and it's going to blossom into a beautiful friendship.
His name is Matthew Ward. So I don't know.
I'm
it's weird.
My answer is going to be because they're not as cool.
That's definitely it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that scouts are bad or anything. It's just like, why would you party with an incomplete Space Marine when you can party with the full package?
Yeah. And like, scouts are using like sniper rifles. You don't really see them.
Yeah.
That's my answer. One question down. Just like that. Was that good?
Are you satisfied, Tony?
I'm satisfied, even though the line you just gave me sounds like the most chaos Space Marine recruitment drive I've ever heard. Like, what? Why play with an incomplete Space Marine when you can get the whole package? As they like pull up in a limo that's just billowing smoke. Like, okay, yeah, that's cool. May just be me. Whatever.
I think that's just you, in all honesty.
Is it?
Yes.
You weren't. Okay. All right. Eric's not feeling the vibe anymore, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm a very precocious creature.
I don't like that.
All right. What else we got here?
What else?
So the next one is where to start on tabletop. And this is just for like beginners. Like, is there something you would have liked to known getting into 40K that would have changed everything?
Probably that you can limit yourself.
Oh, back to the constant spending. Yes.
No, I think that some kind of guidance, and this is just wishful thinking that doesn't actually exist right now, but just guidance on rules and guidance on where to find stuff.
That's tough.
It feels
very, very tough.
Even for like veteran players, like nowadays, there's so many FAQs and stuff to look at.
Like we've been in this game for a very long time. We're very familiar on where to find rules and things, and we still argue. We still have differences of opinion on how some things are interpreted, even, or like what's the most updated thing. Like it's tough even for us.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not. That wasn't what I was hoping you guys were going to tell me, like, well, no, Spenny, you go here and you talk to the guy and he gives you the complete Necronomicon book.
The advice I do have, though, is everyone should own a copy of the core rule book.
Yeah.
Codexes, you can take or leave them. Fuck them. But the core rule book, like, I'm surprised.
You should have the codex of your army. Like, you don't need to buy the 30 codexes out there, but you should know your army back and front. If someone asks you a question about the rules of your army, you should be able to confidently answer that question. And then if they still are like, really? I don't know if that sounds right. You should be able to point it out.
Oh, sure.
I think you should have your own codex. I think that's important.
Do you own your own codexes for everything? Everything you have?
No, not everything. So, but I do think it's important.
Oh, it's
especially for a new player. I know where to find all that information regardless. Sure. For a new player, go buy your own codex and go ride the rule book.
But the rule book, I'm generally surprised how many people have not read like the 8 pages or whatever of the core rules of just basic mechanics.
Oh my god. And this one is the shortest it's ever been.
Yeah. Like, no offense to some people, but like I've been playing on Tabletop Simulator and a couple of the games were just like, oh yeah, I play 40K. And it's like, do you? Like, you don't know when to shoot or move, or it's just like the very basic of it. Like, everyone should have read the core rule book.
Interesting.
Because after that, like, yeah, there's tactics and all that stuff. And yeah, rules get changed or whatever. But if you got a good base, like, you'll be able to muddle your way through.
Yeah.
But it's like, if every turn you're like, fuck, now what do I do?
Battle reports. Battle reports is a very good way to be introduced to like the flow of the game, and they're not going over minutia, but it's very obvious what like the phases are.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever watched any, Spenny, but like I don't watch them, but I know a lot of people who do.
Yeah,
I've tried to watch some to sort of figure it out. Although I always end up wanting more like the thematics than
and minutia.
Yeah, Yeah, which limits me in terms of tabletop learning and effectiveness. And I understand that. I just always want to hear like the story behind why they're fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair though.
But it is very useful in terms of just, okay, how does this role work? When do I do this during the turn? And also, and I don't know if it's in with the main rule book, but I have found really super helpful in the boxed sets. I know Dark Imperium has it. The pamphlet it's just like the basic rules pamphlet.
Yeah.
That has like all the primer cheat sheet. You know? Exactly. That has been super nice to just have there right next to my codex. I actually use it as a bookmark in my codex that I just like pull out. I'm like, okay, I you know, when I can't do math for some reason, I'm like, am I going to hit on fours or am I going to hit on threes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, with Death Guard, it's always going to be fours, but whatever. Yeah.
The Battle Primer you can download online for free from Games Workshop.
Yeah.
So this isn't even like...
Well, we would never tell you to steal.
I might.
Oh. They told me that I had to buy the whole Dark Imperium three times.
Literally, you can learn the game. They have 15 pages for the Battle Primer, but some of it is like not necessary.
Yeah, I think they put their entire Rustet almost on like a flashcard at some point. Like it's very, very nice to get into. This is the easiest edition to get into.
Yeah.
And a nice thing about playing new is like if all you have is the rule book and your codex and you're not familiar with where to find everything else, just don't play with any of the updated rules yet.
Yeah.
Like play with what's in your book until you get used to it and you're familiar.
Yeah.
And then at some point you're going to find out like, okay, so this has been updated. Here's where I find it. You know, let's look through all the different changes. And
yeah.
So like it's totally okay with not playing with the updated rules in the moment, right? So.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people get hooked on, like, stuck on, like, oh, man, you have to play with the most updated. And,
yeah.
Like, to learn the game, you absolutely do not need that.
No. So, no.
But it definitely,
that's fair.
It helps balances your games later.
Yeah.
Right? Like, hopefully when you actually start, like, okay, like, now I want to try different tactics and I want to try different combinations of stratagems and, like, attacks or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's, then you want updated shit. But until then, just learn the game. Basic. Use your two, three resources max.
Yeah.
Like limit yourself. You're not overwhelmed.
The next big step, which it's weird, I know a bunch of people too who don't do this, is actually playing with objective games, whether that's actually playing like
Eternal War or Maelstrom.
Yeah, or even like playing missions that are like kill points. But
sure.
You still have to play like a mission, because I know a bunch of people who literally just play until one army is dead, and that's like
that used to be your favorite way to play.
Oh yeah, and like it's incredibly not.
Well, it's such an easy thing to do. Like you don't have to focus on anything else, right? So you just focus on rules and everything. So and then, but yes, it's an added complexity in the game that makes the game so much more enjoyable.
Yeah, and it makes it so much more balanced too, and
for sure,
obviously more difficult too. But
yeah. Have you played with objectives before, Spenny, or do you normally just play like a kill 'em all?
We did recently start introducing objective games, and it's actually kind of like exactly what you guys have just said. It has been super night and day because I mean I would just get destroyed in deathmatch style gameplay, but with the objectives where it's like, okay, you know, can I play to the objectives in a sneakier, craftier way, whereas my units themselves might not be able to stand up against 36,000 guardsmen units that are crawling across the board like they're poxwalkers, but with guns. The objectives have definitely created a completely different perspective, totally different feeling than just straight up who can steamroll the other person in five turns.
Okay, next question. Where do you start reading? So have you read any 40K at all? Or
I'm in my first book. It is the Death Watch Omnibus.
Ooh.
Because I thought it was a Death Guard, and turns out you don't spell guard, W-A-T-A-C-H.
Death.
No, it's just
Death Watch. I see.
Death Watch. Right. Yeah. Little spelling joke for the folks at home. So yeah, it's about 200 pages into that, And it seems super cool, but it's the world and the universe is so big that I was curious, where would you guys say this is the first book that you, I mean, do you start at the Horus Heresy?
Oh,
do you start
at Dark Imperium? Do not. That's horrible recommendation.
Maybe if you're a seasoned reader, you start at the Horus Heresy. But it's like a 50-book series.
Yeah, and even then, I don't think it's good to learn about 40K.
Well, I just don't think it's actually very, like, I don't know. It's just not super interesting. You're just, it's 50 books of Space Marines.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
exactly.
There's, like, you miss out on all the Eldar stuff, yeah, or the Tau books, or even Necron stuff. So. Yeah.
So if I
was, I don't suggest Horus Heresy either.
If I was to recommend books, I don't know if the core rule book actually counts as a book, but like, I would absolutely 100% read that. Read 7th edition core rule book. Don't read the rules. Don't worry about that. But they have all the lore. It'll give you an understanding of the setting. And once you kind of have that, my next book recommendation would literally just depend on what you're interested in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I'm not going to recommend an Ultramarine book if you don't like Ultramarines, you know? Yeah. So for you, I would probably say you should definitely read, it is a 30K book, Flight of the Eisenstein. And it's literally like...
It was the first Death Guard.
Yeah. So yeah, like that's essential to know like how that came to be, you know?
Origin stories are always 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like everyone wants to know like where did I come from?
Yeah. So and a lot of these factions you can find like that first starting off book, even though it's not very clear which one it is. But yeah, like you don't need to read the whole fucking Horus Heresy to know, but it is important to know how the first one happened.
Very cool.
Yeah. Flight of the Eisenstein. That'll be your next read.
Flight of the Eisenstein. Yeah. Writing it down, putting it on the list after the omnibus. we'll get to it.
But
good man, Spenny. That's why we like you.
But yeah, like...
All those orders. Check.
Right. Just like general good 40K books. I think I like a lot of the Guard ones that I've read or listened to, I guess, is the correct. Like, they're very basic, it feels like. Very much... You can get into it. You know exactly what's happening. It's not overwhelming. They're not throwing like crazy complex things into it. For beginner, I really do like Guard books. They're just relatable. Like sure. Everyone knows what a guy with a las gun is, like a laser gun, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
Fair.
Yeah. So that was the questions we had written down. Two questions. We made it to. I do gotta thank you, Spenny. So you made all of the Liber Malleus shoulder pads. I got them the other day, and they're fucking sweet, man.
Oh, awesome! Yeah, yeah. I'm glad to hear that they worked out and that they will serve the chapter and the project well.
Oof, they will. They're very nice. Yeah.
So you made,
and Eric, you said they smell nice as well.
Honestly, they do. They smell nice, don't they, Mark?
They smell like something. I don't know. Nice.
Wow. No, it smells nice. It smells clean for some reason.
Okay, I could get that. It's they're not.
Medicine is toxic.
Clean is so nice. Cleanliness is close to godliness.
Oh. Now, right, that counts for me as a Death Guard player.
Yeah, exactly. You will never be close to godliness.
Sweats profusely. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you made your own Lorehammer chapter, which was fucking classic, and it actually looked pretty cool.
Literally competing with Mark in the same night to make a Lorehammer Marine.
I think you might have come up with the idea first. You said it out loud first, for sure. So that's always nice.
Yeah, that was a dark night. Not in a Batman sense, but it was very much an arms race. As soon as Mark started throwing his idea that he'd been working on for months, I then immediately had to spring into action and try and paint a second model for my entire career. And fortunately, I was home alone that night, and the girlfriend was I think out of state, and so I actually cracked open the airbrush compressor and the airbrush that I had sealed that I had not touched because I was too intimidated. And so when I say that Mark will motivate you to do things you never thought possible, he will. Okay. And you'll be breaking out stuff. You'll be learning new techniques or failing at new techniques faster than you can say, oh my God, why am I spending so much money on this hobby?
Yeah. Oh yeah. So we came up kind of with a cool way that both our chapters are still valid. And both of them are still like Lorehammer. So your original idea for them were they were guarding a library, essentially. What'd you call them again? You called them the Lore Ward?
Lore Ward. Yeah.
So what we came up with was, so the whole Liber Malleus is like just based on the joke of like misfiled paperwork. So it just plays even further that like all the Primaris Marines actually went to this chapter. So we got all the regular guys. The other Lorehammer chapter was you, and you got all the Primaris somehow. And life is good. That's life in Imperium. You know, you have High Gothic and Low Gothic, and you got to make sure that the High Gothic matches the Low Gothic name. Otherwise, when you have two chapters named Lorehammer, you're splitting resources, I guess.
Right, and it keeps the chapter master of the Liber Malleus, his blood pressure down, to not have to worry about
him. Oh yeah, you don't want him stressed. He gets bitey when he's stressed. But yeah, wow, I don't know. I'm out of talking notes here.
Oh no, that's when the show ends.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of curious though.
Oh okay.
How long have you actually listened to Lorehammer for, Spenny?
How long have I listened to Lorehammer for? So I started listening to Lorehammer last July when the spiral started.
Okay. And you just like found us on Google?
So it was actually another buddy said, you know, there's this, you know, we're trying to figure out because we started to get into it. And it was like, how do I learn more about this? This topic is too expansive. There are too many books on this. I don't want to read. I just want all the knowledge downloaded into my book.
Oh, yes, yes.
And right, as you do with anything new that you get into. And one of my buddies said, hey, you know, I heard about this podcast. It's called Lorehammer, and you should check it out. And I think that's when things got really creepy. And I listened to, like, you know, 100-plus episodes and did that pretty much round the clock. And it was weird because I was like experiencing your guys' 2017, 2018, and 2019 in a period of a few weeks.
Oh no.
And
yeah, that's probably,
you
know, a lot.
It was just,
did you even listen to like the Tau RPG?
You know, I started to, and actually started it while I was on a flight, and then we lost, like, the cabin lights ended up going off when I, like, 5 minutes into listening. And I was like, I'm going to just stop this. And as soon as I paused it, the lights ended up coming back on. So I was like, okay, you know, maybe if I just leave the Tau out for now.
Of course.
So when I feel safe, I'll revisit it because I'm sure space. It's mm-hmm. I'm in a safe space, padded room, yeah. Which is probably sooner rather than later at the rate I'm going. But, yeah.
Okay, so you've been around for almost a year at this point.
Yeah, because me and him were talking a month or two, probably, really. Yeah,
crazy.
But we talk a lot on the Discord voice channel.
Like that. Right, I do like to harass Mark. And that's one of the craziest things is that you guys are doing this podcast. You're at this point. What is like the fifth most popular leisure podcast on Podbean?
Something like that.
Yes. Yeah. Something like that.
And straight up, you can still harass Mark on a nightly basis. He's publicly accessible to a fault.
Well, he's a service. And, you know, he's an essential service.
Yeah.
Right. He's not closed. He's never going to close down.
He can't.
And so, yeah, you can hit him up. All your questions. Don't do your own research. Don't do your own hobbying. Contact Mark.
Yeah.
Tell you what to do, and then you do it, and you feel like you have not only done something great for yourself, but done a service to Mark.
Absolutely.
We both get something out of it.
It keeps him sane.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would just be alone in my garage at all hours of the night, and that's just, I've tried that. It's not a good path.
Well, people think that, like, Lorehammer is a love child between me and Mark.
No.
But truthfully, it all it is I got so fed up with getting texts at 3 a.m. between Mark and Christian talking about like Warhammer that doesn't matter, that I was like, my God, let's get you such a big community that you only talk to them and you never bother me with 40K stuff ever again.
Thanks.
I hate 40K. That's what I'm trying to say, I think.
Ah, yes, yes. This is all just to get, change your number.
Yeah. Maybe that would have been better for me.
Just, we need to find you some new friends was what that's okay. This is weird. I never thought that, you know, by the time I had managed to achieve my dreams of showing up on the podcast, that you guys would then take that opportunity to show that this is actually a totally broken marriage.
No, not only is it broken, but I broke it. I did this.
Okay. Well, Lorehammer will never shut down. I'm always around.
When mommy and daddy fight.
I don't like it.
I don't like it.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, that got really sad really
fast.
That's
okay. I have one more thing, and as long as it's okay with you and Mark, I'd like to end it on this.
So, all right. I mean, unless you want some kind of surprise.
All right. Go to your door, Spenny. Open the door. No, I'm just kidding.
And this is the first atomic bomb Eric's ever made, and we're giving it to you
as a gift. No, if there was one thing that you think every imagine yourself as a representative of all Lorehammer listeners right now. Assume that mantle, right?
Okay. If the cowl of
exactly,
the list, yes.
Yeah. If there was one thing that you think needed to be said to Mark and Eric from all the collective listeners of Lorehammer, what do you think it would be?
Big question.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not here for small shit, you know?
The fact that you didn't put this in my notes for the show is heinously agitating.
You're welcome. I only live to agitate your heinous.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I think for some people it would be a questionable meme of indeterminate value. And I think for me, and what I hope the entire community would say is thank you for
that's not what I was picturing.
Created this that everybody can find their little niche in the ecosystem and find what really speaks to them, be it the tabletop, be it just painting, be it lore, and learning more about this incredibly expansive universe. I think that it's absolutely spectacular, and I stand by that. So please, if anyone's still listening to this and they haven't shut it off because
people listening. Don't you worry.
People are listening right now. The phones are bugged. Thank you for this. But also, guys, seriously, if you haven't already started trying to support these guys in ratings, in Patreon, in donations, or harassment via the Discord, just building the community, please, please, please do. And let's say for like the duration of the lockdown, or could we say for like the next month? What's a better time frame for you guys?
For what?
I'm going to say that I'm going to try to motivate everyone out there listening to support the show. Oh. And I'm going to go ahead and match all
holy
donations.
Moly.
Patreon.
Did you really just say that?
Well,
really just said that's what we're doing, because
let's start you off on a five-year plan.
Yeah, it's, you don't have to commit though. It just means that if you want to cancel out of the subscription, you just have to pay 90% of what you would have paid.
Yeah, so it's not bad.
Yeah. This is going to be a great deal for you. You're going to love being on the Lorehammer team, Spenny.
Right. No, that's absolutely serious. So I mean, five years seems a bit long. I don't know if.
Like we are doing like these Lorehammer lockdowns. I don't want to put a time limit to it, but like 2 weeks of Lorehammer lockdown. Like me and Eric, we have actually gone out of our way. Like I know this is a pretty low effort episode, but like it's still time.
No, we don't mean that against you.
No, Spenny. It's just like we didn't have any notes. We're just hanging out ultimately.
Yeah, we're just creating content that is consumable.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be tasty. It just
doesn't taste just, good.
It goes in your mouth, you know?
In your ear.
In your ear hole. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, but no, yeah, until the end, I guess until the end of the lockdown, we'll say that. Once the listener lockdown is over, the promo will be done. But until then, we're gonna match dollar for dollar the donos that are going to these guys, because I want you to support them. So make sure you tell them that you want it matched, and we're gonna get that done. And just
that's so wild.
Part of me is like, yeah, just, I earned it.
We did not.
No.
You know, Spenny, you can come back on the episode anytime you want.
I'm actually looking at your name on Discord right now, and my finger's just hovering over the lore guest.
Ooh. You're about to get that purple tag.
To flaunt.
Purple tag? Ooh. I don't know.
Do you want it? Do you need it?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
It is granted. No, like, so I know I've said it before. Like, I generally do enjoy talking to all you people. And Spenny, you're one of the cool ones. The coolest one. We'll go with that.
Well, Woody's going to hear this.
No, I know. You're one of the cooler ones. Like, I'm going to put you in my top five for sure.
Yeah. Lorehammer has been a huge source of like new relationships for us.
Yeah.
And it feels like there are some relationships that just like they stay at it like a host and listener level.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine. Sure. Like it's not like we can afford to be best friends with literally every person out there.
No.
But there are a couple people who mostly people that live close to us really. But there are a couple people who we've met through Lorehammer that have the relationship with them will grow beyond the podcast.
Yeah.
And that's very, very cool for us. And Spenny is like, you're one of those people where even if Lorehammer shut down like tomorrow, like we'll still be friends.
Well, we got to do at least our 2 weeks and cash out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to take Spenny for everything he's worth.
Oh yeah.
But,
no,
that's fair.
Honestly, man, like, me and Eric are getting just as much out of it, but it is nice to hear that. And it's fucking awesome that you're helping out, but yeah. I don't know what to say.
I think all we can say is thank you, Spenny. Thank you for validating what we do in your own way, you know?
Yeah. Cool.
Well, shucks, guys. Yeah.
I'm just going to cry over here, you know?
Yeah, I'm getting a little teary-eyed over here as well. So, I mean, that was really beautiful.
Beautiful moment we're sharing together. This just reaffirms the level of love that I
originally started the episode off.
That's right. Everything comes full circle, man.
And if you at home want to experience that love too, please sign up on the Discord or post on the Lorehammer Facebook page. And seriously, consider subscribing to the Patreon. There's going to be a lot of cool stuff going on there soon enough from what I hear.
Yeah.
Lots of big plans.
Big plans.
Big plans.
We're kind of just like at this stage where it's like, okay, well, before we unwrap or unveil the next plan, we just got to reach this monetary goal, you know, like so we can then dedicate more time to it. So,
yeah.
But
big things.
Right.
Big things.
Cool. Well, thanks, Spenny, for making time.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us, Spenny. It was awesome.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute blast.
Good man. Well, thank you for listening to Lorehammer, guys. This was another episode of Lorehammer Lockdown. Anything else, Mark, or are we just signing off?
I think that is all. Be safe out there. We're all in this crazy world together. So, you know, if you're feeling panicked or outraged or whatever, send me a message and I will either calm you down, rile you up, whatever the opposite of what you want, I will provide.
It'll stoke your anger and point you in the right direction. Which is your Games Workshop store. Anyways, thanks guys, and we'll see you next time.